Welcome, everybody, to episode 333 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 10th, 2010, or 2018.
2010.
So I saw the date. It's 1010. So
you pick your favorite WordPress theme and then just stick with that number.
That's right. So welcome, everybody, to another fantastic edition of the show. I'm Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacobian for the second time this year. As we do the show, a hurricane is hitting the U.S.
It sure is. I noticed that, too. That's terrible.
So it's about Category 4, almost Category 5. Massive hurricane striking the Florida panhandle. So if any of your listeners are down there, hopefully you've taken the necessary precautions, or better yet, evacuated the area. And our best hopes are with you folks down there in Florida.
I mean, there's lots of meetups that were happening, right? The us Sand Hills folks had a meetup just outside of Fort Lauderdale. Automatic just did their grand meetup in Orlando. Everyone hopefully is out and safe. There's a lot. It's a hurricane like that, and that area is a big deal. They have a tendency to whip around and stay there for a while and come back through. So, yeah, if you're hopefully you've evacuated or hunkered down or done whatever everyone is telling you to do to get out of there, because it's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, and in some ways it feels like a hurricane's been going through the WordPress community this past week.
That was a good way to tie that back together.
Right.
We'll get into that in a little bit later. But however, that voice you heard is the one and only Mike Schroeder, who is a WordPress core developer and a No, I was looking at the emoji. It says hot beverage. So he's a hot beverage enthusiast. Coffee, tea, I don't know what it is, but he worked full-time as a WordPress contributor with GoDaddy. Formerly at DreamHost, but now he's at GoDaddy. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a little bit. But Mike, thanks a lot for joining us on the show today.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Glad to be here. And it's coffee, but I do enjoy tea as well. So, you know, whatever your hot beverage of choice, we can chat about that. Today it's coffee.
So the hot beverage emoji kind of covers it all.
Exactly.
All right. So we invited you on the show because there's been some interesting life changes for you. But I wanted to get you on and sort of talk about this is your first time, I think, on the show. After all these years.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think I've been on once before some time ago, but probably
it's been so long.
A release of some sort. I only know because I was scrolling through Slack and I was like, okay, oh yeah, there it is. There's the invitation to the hangout. But it's been a couple of years and I'm super excited to be back.
All right, so let's start off at the beginning for those who may not know. Tell us your WordPress origin story.
My WordPress origin story, sure. Always excited to talk about that. Well, it began a while ago. I don't know the exact amount of years, but it was around like 2.something in terms of WordPress versions. And I was looking to set up a new personal website. And I had this account with this hosting company called DreamHost, who I did not work for, that had a one-click install that made it super easy to get a site started with WordPress. And so I did that. And I got my WordPress site started up. A few years later, I was in LA for entirely different reasons. Initially moved out to work on some stuff in the entertainment industry. And we could talk about that later if that's kind of interesting. But I have a background in computer science. So I noticed that DreamHost was in the area, was looking for a gig, and ended up applying. So I ended up starting there as tech support and worked there in tech support for about 2 years alongside the most excellent Jason Cosper, who is over at Liquid Web now. And he's amazing. If any of y'all haven't met him, absolutely you should chat with him. He's super great. And he gave me the opportunity to be able to work on more and more advanced WordPress issues through those 2 years. And so I got to know a lot about essentially the problems that users run into when they use WordPress, both on the technical level and also to some extent with user experience and that sort of thing. So the DreamHost was looking to get more involved with the community specifically, and looking to have someone come on to work on both WordPress product and with contribution. And so when that opportunity came up, I applied and fortunately had the privilege to start doing that. And that was really my first foray into mm-hmm. contribution at all. Starting out in the WP Hackers mailing list back then.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the old trusty mailing list.
Yep, absolutely. That was my introduction. I looked back a little while ago, and in the first folks to respond were Jen, and Ryan McHugh. Yeah. Even back then, and so that was pretty cool. And I actually got a really warm welcome. It took a long. It did take a lot of work, a lot of time, you know, to figure out exactly where my spot was going to be, and
that's right,
and all of that. But it was great to have as warm of a welcome as there was, and I still appreciate that.
That's the speaking of the mailing list. That's how I knew it was the beginning of a new month when you get that email.
Those were nice, though. I really liked those monthly wrap ups back then. There's so much to wrap up now all over the Make blogs that. I'm like overwhelmed with wrap ups on a daily basis. The monthly wrap ups were those were nice.
Well, now you have I believe it's Paul or somebody else who's now doing sort of a this month in WordPress post, which is pretty cool. So they link to all the relevant posts and Slack discussions and things of that nature. So it's kind of going, it's still going on, but it's kind of evolved mm-hmm. now to the Make blogs. So you know. I guess back in 2011, or since 2011, you've yeah. contributed to like, you know, every version of WordPress.
Almost everyone. I missed one.
Oh no, you missed one.
I missed
which
one?
One.
And so now I can't remember off the top of my head. I've got it in a list somewhere, but I missed one. And I think I was just kind of taking a break, honestly.
Yeah.
Afterward, someone was like, why didn't you reach out to me? We could have worked on a patch so that you could maintain your streak. And I was like, no, it's cool. I think it's okay to take a break. And I still think that's all right. I think it's a really good idea for folks, especially if they've been contributing for a while, to take a rest every once in a while.
So you're a familiar face on the credits page. Or at least in the list of people who get thanks for contributing to
and are one of the few people props. Who still look like their Gravatar.
Oh, well, thank you. That I love that photo. Sherry Bigelow took it for me a few years back and was kind enough to allow me to use it for it. And it
great.
I'm very glad that I look remotely like it because I love the photo so much.
Sherry takes good photos. I used one of her photos for a Gravatar for a long time too. Well, shout out to Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Absolutely.
So about 4 years ago, you co-led the release of WordPress 3.9, and then I guess 2 years later, you were so pumped about co-leading the release, you wanted to, you know, lead the whole thing, you know, be in control of the whole shindig. So you led the release of WordPress 4.5, and we may have talked about this a few years ago, but kind of thinking back on it, you know, kind of share what that experience was like for you to lead an entire release.
So first, the way I feel about it and the way I felt about it afterwards is maybe a little different than it felt in the middle, right? I think that was one of the most rewarding things professionally that I've ever worked on. And I'm very grateful that I basically all of my time during that release was donated mm-hmm. by DreamHost. They extended the amount of time that I usually had so that I'd be able to do that. And I think just being able to, in general, being able to contribute to WordPress, but especially in that sort of a way, and being able to help users at the scale that is WordPress around the world. I mean, at the time it wasn't 30%, but even, you know, 20-ish percent of the internet, I don't remember, this is probably going to be the wrong number at the time. Those sort of millions of installs, I felt very, very, you know, privileged and grateful to be able to spend that time for as much as I was able, you know, to contribute back. And so that's the way I feel about it at the time. So there are a lot of things that were good and that you know, needed to be corrected about the release process too, right? So I think that there was definitely a lot of pressure on release leads during that sort of, you know, every 3 months or every 4 months sort of cycle. And it's super great to get to work with everyone. And that's definitely how I feel about it. But it was also, you know, it's a full-time job. It was a lot better that time than the previous time. I learned my lesson back on 3.9 that a WordPress release will take all of the time you let it take.
Right, right.
All of the time.
That is right. Yep.
And so I was a lot more strategic with and set up a lot more boundaries on my time with 3.9. And so that made it a lot more manageable as far as, you know, sort of family and everything else going on in life during a release. So I had very strict boundaries on when I was going to stop work unless I needed to have like a special meeting with someone in another time zone that otherwise couldn't happen. And I took weekends off. I don't believe I worked a single weekend during that release.
So taking those necessary precautions maybe that helped you avoid burnout too quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I still took time off afterward. Yeah. I went with my family off to literally literally off to an organic farm up, you know, two or three.
Well, there's no chance of being contacted
without my laptop and without any connection to Slack and without any of that for like, I don't remember. It wasn't an entire week, but you know, after. So, you know, made steps to make sure that folks were in charge that could handle things that came up and all of that following the release. But yeah, I took time. But it was super great to work with everyone. And I think I definitely learned tons about what it takes to work with that, you know, that sort of group of people, and also how important it is to bring folks in, right? So it wasn't just me. I can't remember the exact number of contributors. You might actually have it in front of you, but hundreds of contributors. And and Mel Choice came in as the design lead and was hugely helpful. And Adam Silverstein came in as a deputy. And it wouldn't have been able to happen, and especially, you know, not successfully without them. And I'm definitely grateful for all their help.
Well, for the 4.x or 4. Whatever branch of WordPress, it definitely seems like having a design lead in addition to the WordPress lead for a release has definitely helped the project. Makes moving along, you know, a bit of a smoother process when you have a design lead to work on UX or to work on screenshots or UI concepts. Seems to have benefited the project.
I definitely agree. And it seems like that'll continue. And I really hope that it does, because I think it's important to have UX especially involved from the beginning.
Well, in 2017, Matt came on stage and says, whatever we were doing before, we're not going to do it. We're going to change things up for three major releases a year. No, we're going to change everything up, and we're going to focus on this. And when we feel like it's something's ready to ship, we're going to ship it. And that's what's been going on for the past 2 years. And from my perspective, it's been, I'm not in the meetings as much as I used to, but it's sort of difficult to see or to even know who the lead devs are, who's leading that release, what are the core devs doing nowadays. It seems like they're having meetings and they're accomplishing tasks, but it sometimes seems like everyone's just twiddling their thumbs waiting for Gutenberg to get to a point where it can be merged in the core so that we can get back to our regularly scheduled program, which, by the way, looks like we're not going to ever go back to the regularly scheduled program, thanks to Gutenberg. But based on your experience and in looking at the past 2 years, how has your activity been in as far as WordPress core development, and what have the changes been like for you now that we're not doing three major releases per year?
So I don't think your comments are entirely inaccurate. I have mixed feelings about it. So I definitely think that a change was necessary. I don't think that relying on leads and on committers to somehow figure out features to release and then release them in 3 month chunks was working. I think that it was a good idea to try what was attempted with feature plugins. So for those for folks who aren't familiar with them, the idea was sort of the opposite of what it is now in terms of development. So the idea was that things would get developed in plugins or sort of outside of core all the time, not connected with particular releases. And then when releases came around, the idea was that leads would be able to talk to those folks and say, okay, what's ready to ship? Let's decide what we should ship. We'll have a merge period. We'll get stuff in. We'll ship it. In practice, that didn't really work. In practice, what ended up happening was that there were a couple, but folks didn't really spend. There were a few that were successful, so I don't want to discount those.
Well, MP6 probably being the most obvious.
Yeah, but in practice, when that rolled around, often there wasn't anything that was quite ready, and or there was very little that was quite ready. But folks kind of still expected to see some feature that was shiny to come out in a release, rather than just platform improvements, which I think that time was really good for establishing a cadence and having platform improvements and bug fixes and rallying contributors. So for all of that, I think it worked really well. But for that other part of it, for the product, for WordPress as a product and advancing it and moving it forward and having it be ready for the future, I think that part wasn't working.
Well, and for all the ways that like WordPress is has a reputation for being very flexible and adaptable to all of the needs of the things that you would like for it to do. Everything from WooCommerce or to a BuddyPress social network or whatever the things you want in between, is that a lot of the tasks that were trying to be built as feature plugins would eventually get deep enough into the core of WordPress where the things that they were hoping to achieve in a plugin were really just not all that achievable without changes to core. And so, or extra REST API endpoints or all these things where trying to do something 100% as a feature plugin requires this 3 month grafting process from plugin to core WordPress releases needed to go through that period of time of having feature plugins for everyone to, I think, really truly comprehend what some folks that have been deep in the trenches working on multi-site or working on BuddyPress stuff for a long time kind of already knew, which is that as flexible as it is, you get to a point where it is completely 100% inflexible, and it requires changes like user languages or fixing the options cache. There are things where you're like, well, that doesn't get to be a feature plugin because there is no way to gut or replace that. Gutenberg, kind of one of those things where the team that has been able to get behind building as much of Gutenberg as a plugin as they've been able to is kind of a minor development miracle. To build that separately without needing to get to this point where everything is right now. So the feature plugin model is great until it's not. And eventually every feature plugin gets to a point where it's just, it kind of stalls out and it needs more core support. And if it didn't get that from a lead at the time, it never got, it never saw the light of day in a WordPress core release.
Yeah. And I bring this up not to be pessimistic, but to say that I have like no desire to go back to exactly the way things were. I do think though that it is good to sort of look at the things that worked and the things that didn't work and compare those with the things that are working and not working in the current model. Mm-hmm. And kind of see where it is that we should go forward. And I look forward and hope that a lot of those conversations will happen in the community to kind of see where we should be as a project and what the best way is to be able to develop. And I hope more and more of that will be, in chats, in stuff like has been happening. I was really excited to see for the reasons that you talk about, Jeff, I was excited to see the launch of the 5.0 release, because I think it's really important to rally folks around the project. And I think that's happened most successfully during release cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone can have a singular goal, essentially. Goals, deadlines, things to rally around. And it was interesting to see that work even outside of release, even outside of major releases during the past year, or just over a year or two with minor releases.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was I was really encouraged by that. I was excited. Well,
I think a good example of what you're talking about is the GDPR release.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I loved seeing folks come together. A lot of new people that hadn't led releases before were able to come in and you know take ownership of bug fixes and of wholesale features that were really important for the future of WordPress. And so I was really glad to see that continue, even despite focus for you know primary development being somewhere else. So anyway, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on it. I don't know if that's concise enough, but I'm looking forward to what's next, and I'm looking forward to seeing folks come together to help Gutenberg work well for users.
I could just imagine the collective sigh of finally. You know, when Matt actually published his information about the launch of WordPress 5.0, and now the TBDs actually start getting dates. So it had to be a little bit of a relief. But so some of the feedback I've read from developers and people over the past, I'd say, year or so of Gutenberg development, especially when they want to contribute to core, is that if you look at the way Gutenberg has been developed, it's a plugin. It's on GitHub, and it's React-based. So some of the, I don't know if I want to say, concerns or complaints, frustrations maybe is the better word for it, is that in order to get involved in something like Gutenberg, you have to set up a more complicated dev environment. You got to know React. You got to know JavaScript. And it seems like... And it's being developed over here, like on the side over in GitHub. And there's been a lot of pull requests, and there's been a lot of people sort of involved with the feedback loop and trying to get things together. But as far as actually core contributions, it seems that's been handled more or less by automaticians and people who, you know, actually have some React-based knowledge. And a lot of developers have said that over there, you know, WordPress has always had a low barrier to entry because it's a PHP-based CMS, and but now with the introduction of JavaScript and React, that barrier is pretty much you know doubled or tripled, you know, in height. It's much more difficult now to contribute to WordPress because of the whole JavaScriptness of it than I guess it was before. I don't know, any thoughts on that?
So I think there were a few topics that you touched on. I'll try and kind of connect with them because there's a lot of stuff going on here. So first, on your mention of automatic, let's put this on record really publicly. I am super grateful that Automatic has invested all of the resources and all of the folks that it has to Gutenberg and to helping the editing experience get better in WordPress. I do not think that Gutenberg would have happened or would happen had it not been for that.
I agree.
There were lots of folks reaching out both before and after for JavaScript folks and other PHP folks to get involved in building this and in building a project like this. And that a lot of that support, it started to materialize, and there are more folks involved now in the core Gutenberg team. And in folks that are working on Gutenberg that are outside of Automatic than there were. But I think that a lot of it has been due to necessity. I don't think that it would have happened otherwise. And I am super grateful for all of the resources that have been put towards it.
Yeah, and
sure to say that absolutely first.
Right. Right, but John and I have talked about it, and I believe we even talked to Matt about it when we had him on the show, that if the old way of doing things, the old way of developing for WordPress would not have allowed Gutenberg, or it would have taken, it seems like, forever to get Gutenberg to the point it is now if we would have been on the old sort of the old ways of developing for WordPress, major features for WordPress. So I think that, you know, this was probably the only way he could get it done, is that he just assigns a couple of automaticians to this and say, just hammer this out full time. And within a year and a half, almost 2 years now, We've gotten Gutenberg to a point where it's nearly merge proposal ready. So
it is that we've talked about that, like you said on the show. And I think the point that maybe leads us into Mike's next talking point is that it is very generous for companies like Automattic or DreamHost or LiquidWeb or anybody to allocate the resources and just gift that time and energy and intellect to an open source project, regardless of WordPress or anything else. And so Matt or Automattic being that resource to me is just as or more generous than any other company that chooses to do it, because personally, Matt has a vested interest in it. And he is still willing and able to put people on task with still getting a salary to solve those problems. I mean, it's a big, big deal. But at the same time, and I don't think I've said this on the show before, but I kind of joke around a lot with software development really being like, it is a really good manufacturing job, right? For like today, like there is an assembly line here. We are all kind of one piece in the line, and every assembly line introduces complexity. But there was a period of time where cars didn't have paint on them. And then eventually painting the car became part of the assembly line process. And so it is 100% totally fine to not know how to paint a car as long as you know how to do your part of the assembly line. And for the majority of WordPress's life, the assembly line was very, very simple. And that worked and it was okay. But it wasn't able to make the bigger leaps and strides that a more intricate and frankly more complicated assembly line can do. You look at a company like Tesla that is able to completely reinvent the automotive industry by having a different but still kind of the same assembly process. Instead of having dirty engines that require specific type of handling, they have batteries that are largely assembled at a completely different plant that are plugged into the car in a completely different time. And so Gutenberg, it is 100% okay to be a WordPress core contributor that doesn't work on Gutenberg, because that is just not the part of the assembly line that you are working on. And so you don't touch it. You continue to work on multi-site or caching or queries or performance or Browse Happy or any other of like the dozens of core components that there are. And it is okay to not work on Gutenberg. And so Gutenberg is a totally separate piece of software, like TinyMCE is a separate piece of software. And so it is okay that something like Gutenberg gets worked on.
Well, Mike has shared his... Mike has shared his gratitude for Automattic, but you know, how do we get to the point? How do we convince people or get people to realize to A, first be gracious, you know, kind of like Mike with automaticians, instead of looking at automaticians working on core as, oh, they're doing it for the corporate interests of Automattic at WordPress.com. And a lot of people sort of outside the core dev atmosphere seeing automaticians work on core all the time is, you know, it upsets them, it angers them. And if you look at the phase two of Gutenberg, there's two more automaticians that will be leading phase two of Gutenberg. Now, granted, it's not just them. There are a lot of other people involved, a lot of other people who are not automaticians that are involved in the process. So we got to keep that in mind. But, you know, we're gracious for Automattic providing these resources, but man, there's so many other people out there who just cringe at the fact that, you know, there's these, and I feel for the automaticians too.
I want to hear Mike's answer, but I also have something I've said on the show before that I'll follow up with when Mike is done.
Yeah. So, I don't want to discount those concerns. I think that there are, so first I think that, I guess I'll start with the previous part. I do really enjoy that Gutenberg was started in a very open sense, and that all of that code was available from the beginning. I also really appreciate the it's been some time. The newsletter that's been put out about Gutenberg changes and all that sort of stuff. I think that communication has been improving, but I definitely agree that there has been basically communication difficulties or at the very least disconnections between what's been happening on GitHub and what's been happening sort of with the rest of WordPress. And that's tough. I think it's also something that we experienced in the past in the WordPress project with a couple of the default themes and some other, you know, feature plugins that eventually made their way to core. I don't know how we're going to solve all of that particular problem, the sort of GitHub to core disconnect. I think that's still an open issue that we're going to have to solve as a community. As far as sort of the recent announcements, what I would hope is that going forward as a community, we could have more conversations about this stuff in the open. So I really like the process for release leads, kind of the way that it works at the moment, in terms of it coming up in the dev chat and folks being able to offer their expertise, to offer feedback on processes, to offer feedback on folks. I feel like, and please correct me if you think I'm far off, but I feel like a lot of the shock that's sort of been going on and a lot of the feedback is due to surprise. Mm-hmm. And I think, and by myself included, mm-hmm. I was also surprised by these things, by a lot of the things coming out. I'm really glad to see the planning behind it, and I'm glad to know that it's happening. But at the same time, having that conversation be public, I think is very useful in terms mm-hmm. of folks understanding where things are coming from and being able to have input on right. future direction.
Well, and folks like you, I guess I would lump myself into that statement, but shouldn't be shocked because we're in it all day, all the time. And so it's okay for the world to be shocked, but when that happens, when you're like, man, I am eyes wide open on a lot of what is happening here in Slack and like traveling the world, talking to people in person, and I still don't know what is going on. What more is there to do? Right. That's generally where I agree with you. With the shock part of it. The only other, the devil's advocate side of it, or the flip side of that coin, where I've said it on the show before, is that if I had employees, I would be more inclined to put them to task on things than to ask someone who is not kind of directly influenced by what my agenda or wishes or hopes are for the project or themselves or anything else. Like, it would be hard for me to ask you, Mike, to like do all these things for this release if you actually have no obligation to do them for me, where like as a leader or a company owner or a boss, I'm able to say like, hey, this is what I'd like you to do. This is what I'm hoping for you to achieve. This is how I expect for you to do it, and come back if you have any problems or whatever else. Like, it kind of comes as no surprise that like that Matt would just pick employees of his instead of trying to just like randomly pluck someone from the community to put to task, because there is there's a chance that this random person is actually not going to do the stuff that Matt wants them to do. And so not that I think that that's right, but that's what I think is maybe easy, is like to just grab the people that are under your employ than to ask a random volunteer to hopefully do what you want them to do. I don't. So that might explain, maybe not to speak for anybody, why that is maybe what happens. I know that it doesn't justify it, but it is. It does make sense to me when I think of it in that weird one way.
It's the working with volunteers on a project that's as big as WordPress is difficult. I can't speak for exactly what's going on in that situation, so I don't think I'm going to try and speculate on it.
Right.
It is definitely easier to be able to rely on folks that have time donated. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's really important to include all folks that are interested in contributing as much as possible. And that's something that's really difficult because, as you said, it's not something you can rely on. You start, you know, having worked on a release, you know,
yeah, right, exactly.
You basically, folks end up contributing with the time that they have, and so you can't plan for we're going to accomplish this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. At that point, it has to be more of a matter of it would be great to accomplish these things, but really. Hey, folks, what are you interested in working on? Okay, let's see what we can do, and let's see what we can complete. In the light of Gutenberg and getting folks involved, I think that, you know, y'all were talking a bit about how it's hard to get involved because all the tools are different and all of that. I don't think that's necessarily the case. In the past few months, as I think you're aware, or many folks are aware, I do some work with the media team, the media component team, mm-hmm. Is one of the maintainers, along with Tammy, Joe, and I'm spacing on his first name, Desraj, and some others. And it basically what we've done is turned our meetings into Gutenberg-centric meetings. Mm-hmm. So basically turned that assumption on its head and spent our time as component maintainers on things that matter to the Gutenberg release, but either might require feedback, might require core changes for integration, might require, you know, like back compat concerns and things that we need to tackle ahead of time. I think there's a lot of that across, if not all the components, most of the components that's going to need to happen. Some of it has been happening, and a lot of it will need to continue to happen to have it released. So what I really hope is that those teams will, and for this, I really enjoyed Gary's call out. There's a post that he made a couple of days ago about specifically calling out to contributors and committers saying, hey, what would you like to help out with? Because I think it's going to take all of us coming together to help mm-hmm. the merge go really well and help it land well for users in terms of all of the things that we've talked about, really. Mm-hmm. But if we want users to be happy, then I think it's going to take everyone that works on WordPress to pitch in.
Right. Well,
it's going to take a village.
And not just everyone that works on WordPress, but like everyone that works with WordPress. Like,
you are absolutely correct.
Right.
And I should have said that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Because
core developers and everyone else is great, and that's a given.
Yeah. Yep,
but
yep, yep.
People whose businesses or schools or colleges that have 100 WordPress sites, they're going to see it. They're going to have custom plugins, post types, meta boxes, things. And it's kind of up to them to report back after Gutenberg is merged, but before 5.0 ships to go, hey, pluck, 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 this, and kind of just rapid fire try to respond to a lot of the problems that they're going to see, because there's only so much that people are willing or able to do ahead of time, and it's starting to be the time. And so everyone that works with it, I think about that with all the Sandhill stuff we've got, or the BBs, or anything else that has a big user base like that. The custom post type switcher is... the post type switchers plugin that I've got that like has like secretly grown successful without me really doing a whole lot with it. And I think like I need to add Gutenberg support to that. Like I absolutely have to do it.
Yeah.
But I haven't prioritized it until it's going to be kind of merged into core. So I know what it is that I'm going to do. And so guilty is charged, like being one of those people who's kind of waiting for that ball to drop. But everyone, all hands on deck, really, truly.
So, Mike, I imagine you've probably used Gutenberg over the past year and a half. What do you think about the block concept, and can you see this as being the future of WordPress? Maybe not just for the editor, but for reimagining and reworking other parts of WordPress thanks to the core of Gutenberg.
So, yes, I can totally see it as the future of WordPress, and I think that it's something that WordPress has kind of needed for a while, at least from the hosting perspective. I know that I've told a lot of folks this, but for years before Gutenberg became a thing, or even before, you know, Calypso became a thing, we is incorrect. When I worked at DreamHost, there were basically Dreamos would follow all of those exit interviews or exits. We'd have an exit survey that would come through and folks would talk about why they were leaving, why they were closing their accounts, reasons, basically reasons for churn. Mm-hmm. And by and large, the reasons that we started seeing pile up were WordPress is too hard.
Yeah.
Right. And this is years ago. This is mm-hmm. like maybe 5 years ago, even as far as 7 years ago. WordPress is too hard, even back then. Mm-hmm. Those users were looking for something that was a lot more visual, that was a lot easier to get into, to design their site, to have that initial experience of going from I've just purchased hosting, but really what they're looking for is I want to make a site.
Mm-hmm.
And that was being slowly filled by products that, you know, that were not open source and that were, and it was not getting handled by WordPress, or at least WordPress was not keeping up with that.
Which sort of led to a lot of web hosts creating these wizards to help guide users to creating their sites.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And now Dreamhost has one of those, and it has an export to WordPress now. But that's a thing that hosts had to account for. And what I'm really hoping, there's been a lot of enthusiasm when I talk to folks. So like one of the things that GoDaddy was most excited about, for me to get involved in, and that I'm excited to be able to now spend, you know, all of my time on, is Gutenberg. And it's for a lot of those reasons. Mm-hmm. Because folks are excited about Gutenberg, or about really WordPress, taking a big step forward in investing in user experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to see what folks build on it. And I'm excited to see already the response from end users, especially ones that haven't had experience with WordPress before, but are kind of using it for the first time, and seeing their response to the editor and how well they like it. That's really exciting to me. So in any case, I'm really glad to see that enthusiasm. I'm glad to see it move forward. Yes, I can totally see it. Do I still have frustrations when I use it sometimes? Yeah. But it's come such a long way in a very, very short time. And the frustrations now that I have when I use it are minimal compared to the huge user experience benefits that I believe that it brings, especially to users that are just getting started with the web and with building sites. But even for really everyone, in terms of providing a standard way to provide for plugins and themes and to connect with WordPress and be able to provide other types of content and make that content more rich and make that content more dynamic. I'm really excited about that.
I think what a lot of people sort of within everything that's going on with Gutenberg forget about Gutenberg's core purpose. And I'll read a quote from the announcement from Matt Mulloway where he announces that the phase two leads, but he says the Block framework will allow us to drastically simplify the various concepts and user interfaces across WordPress, including widgets, TinyMC, magic sessions, and short codes. So speaking of phase two, he says that phase two is about thinking outside the box, namely the post and page box, to allow Gutenberg to handle entire site layouts. So he says that they will replace widgets with blocks. So any block will be able to be used in any registered sidebar for legacy themes, and we will upgrade menus to a navigation block. See that, John? I'm forward thinking. I said that before he even posted that.
Look at you, thinking so far ahead. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I was thinking a week ahead. that's how forward thinking I am. But
starts this, 1 week at a time.
But you know, as we talked about with Gary, you know, this whole ship of Theseus paradox where you're replacing the ship without, you know, starting from anew, replace it by one board at a time. You know, the menus, that's a board. The widgets, that's a board. Short codes is a board. And as we start to see when it starts getting into the customizer, that, wow, you know, it starts to make a whole lot more sense now with the phase two part, with the Theseus, ship of Theseus paradox, where you start replacing all these different boards on WordPress, and in the distant future, you know, who knows, 3 to 4 years from now, we had this completely new WordPress without having to have had to start from scratch. And Gutenberg is at the core of it all.
Mm. One of the things that I think Gutenberg did it was the right time for Gutenberg to like, this is the best time in WordPress's life.
Well, Matt said he tried to create a new editor for WordPress like this
multiple
this is
times.
Attempt.
Yes, yeah, this is the right time because WordPress has more contributors in more teams working on more pieces than it has ever had, which means more communication. Whether or not Slack is the thing that did that for us or not is also debatable, because Slack really does help bring everyone together in a way that is accessible to mobile devices and anyone on any platform. IRC kind of tried to do that, and there's a special place in my heart for IRC, but Slack, I think, helped a lot with that. But we talked about release cycles. We've talked about approaches to release cycles. I feel like since you talked about Matt's post, since we're talking about phase one and phase two, it would be remiss to not mention John Blackburn's comment where he talks about some of the challenges that this release cycle has seen, and the hope that future release cycles will be better. And that, and my transition to get Mike's opinion is that for a lot of us that have been working with WordPress for a really long time, we've watched it level itself up from something that was kind of pretty jazzy and on the fly, and we were figuring it out, to something where people have higher expectations about the end result and what the features are going to be and how polished it's going to feel from release to release and over again. And one of the things that WordPress has that companies like Apple, frankly, do not have is a very strong commitment to backwards compatibility. And so Gutenberg is a massive remix and rethink of how content gets interacted with in WordPress, not just saved and posted, but like, how do users want to build their websites? And so in your experience, Mike, having seen what y'all were able to try and do for users with building an editor for Dreamhost working with the media library in WordPress, which we talked about last week, but I think has held up pretty well in terms of the 8 years that it's been in WordPress so far. It doesn't look or feel maybe as bad as people may think, in my opinion. But I think this is bringing things to a lot of people's attention that WordPress is a mature piece of software, and that the expectations on Gutenberg being pretty great out of the box are very high. This is not like a iterate often and be quick kind of thing. This is like, it's kind of got to be right the first time. And so Mike, I mean, I guess I'm curious, do you think what we've got now is right the first time? Do you think that there are things that, aside from the site builder aspect that we know is coming, that'll need to get iterated on? And then in terms of process, having been a release lead, what are you looking forward to for Alexis and Riyadh's phase two here? What are your thoughts?
That's a big question.
It's a huge question. That's what I do here. I ask the big questions.
Yeah. No. So, I guess first, as far as sort of readiness and such, I definitely think that it was ready to kick off this process. Mm-hmm. I think that it's really good to pull everyone together to set a deadline and say, hey, we're going to do this. Let's work on it together. Let's see what needs to be done to get it out the door. I think that's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's like ready to ship exactly right now as it is? Would I do it tomorrow? No, mm-hmm. but that's not what's being proposed.
That's
what's
right.
Proposed is that we come together and find those things that need mm-hmm. to be fixed before it goes out, so that we can provide a good experience for users. Mm-hmm. And I remain optimistic that we can, that as a team, all of us, and exactly what you said, all the folks that work on WordPress and all the folks that use WordPress can come together and have that good product, mm-hmm. Have that good project, really, right? Mm-hmm. And Do I think it's all going to be perfect? No, I think there are going to be things we have to fix, mm-hmm. but that's okay. It's kind of expected mm-hmm. with any change, I think, that is as big as this one is. And, you know, I wouldn't be disappointed to see fixes that have to come out for it. I think that's mm-hmm. that's just something that's going to have to happen as it progresses. I think it is, as you mentioned, I think it is very important that keep our minds on backwards compatibility, because as it becomes the primary editor, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. super important. That's super important mm-hmm. for things to work as users, as close to what users expect when they're interacting right. interacting with it as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting problem for Gutenberg. Yep. So it's going to be challenging.
Well, just like we speculated on the show a bunch of times about whether or not the Gutenberg name was going to stick. And yeah. my opinion has always been the Gutenberg name has to stick. It will not go away anytime
soon. I mean, the whole Gutenberg phase two thing just kind of confirms that it's going to stick yeah. around.
And I think Gary has said so, right? Like very openly, the Gutenberg, I think he closed the GitHub issue. I think I got the email about it, that Gutenberg is here to stay. There's no getting around it. But in the similar sort of vein is yeah. it's not feature for feature. There is not 100% feature parity in Gutenberg with what's already in WordPress core, right? Like auto saves or local storage isn't in Gutenberg yet. I don't think there are a couple of little things that yeah. aren't there yet. Where to kind of the Gutenberg team's credit, which maybe people won't think of it that way, but I think of it that way, is like there are a couple little things that people will probably not notice, other than Jeff noticed it right away. Like local storage saving, folks will probably not notice that right
away. Well, I will say that in the 4.0 RC release, that is one of the things that they plan on having.
I know.
I was going to say, I just commented on that one. on that one. I don't know. It was yesterday, the day before, and I got. Mm-hmm. Then the reply that I got was, yeah. This is a thing we should try and do.
That's right.
I'm gonna add the tag to it. So I'd encourage folks to, as they're testing it, to kind of keep their minds open right. and think about, well, just because a thing isn't planned to happen now, or just because a backwards compatibility thing isn't solved now, it doesn't mean it can't still be solved. There right. is still time. There are still folks very, very interested. I think most folks I talk to are concerned about Gutenberg because they want to see WordPress succeed. Mm-hmm. And so trying to, what I've been doing, at least in terms of framing, is trying to think of it all in that light. Okay, mm-hmm. so because I really want to see it succeed, what things can we do now to help it succeed?
Yep.
I'm next.
Oh, so. It's your show. You're right. I'll zip it.
No, but sorry, co-host.
No, don't be. Gosh, no, again, your show. I'm sorry. Please accept my sincere apologies, Joe.
Don't make me feel
like
we're an hour in. Don't make me.
I'd like to make it into another show. So you're right. I gotta.
No, but I was gonna ask Mike. You know, with Gutenberg being React based and really up in the ante in terms of JavaScript usage in WordPress, and this idea of Gutenberg being the core of redoing or reworking a lot of the parts of WordPress, do you think it will help or at least allow WordPress to shed some of its technical debt?
I don't know yet. I think
the answer is no.
I think the answer is not immediately.
Yeah.
Not right. immediately. Over time, maybe. Over time, perhaps. But I would tend to say not immediately. Because the need for back compat, and I think one of the biggest strengths of WordPress, in my opinion, is the backwards compatibility. And so I think not immediately is my answer.
And that's the thing that we've talked about with other guests we've had is like what is commonly called backwards compatibility is kind of, I think personally, the wrong phrase for this, because what WordPress provides is really this environment agnosticism, where it doesn't matter if you're using GD or Image Magic, it doesn't matter right. what version of Apache or Nginx, it doesn't matter if it's PHP 5, 2, 3, 4, 7, whatever, is that WordPress can kind of float on top of all of that and solve those problems for you. And 10 years ago, that was like an amazing feature. And now that Laravel and Drupal and all these other, that's not really a feature anymore. That's just a given. We just expect that that comes with your web application. But to abandon those principles is pretty dangerous. You don't want to all of a sudden say, yep, we don't work on this thing anymore. Yeah, Apache just isn't good enough, and we're going to say, no, right, we don't run on it anymore. That's super dangerous, too. And so when we talk about eliminating technical debt, the reason I think the answer is no is because then you lose that platform agnosticism. That is what WordPress's success is the foundation for all of that. So I would hate to lose that. I know that there are people chomping at the bit to kill support for other things. And we've done it with PHP 4. And that's okay. And we will do it with PHP 5.4 probably, as probably seems like the next cutoff, but 5.5 maybe, depending on. I don't know. I the technical debt is kind of irrelevant. The bits and bytes and the size of the zip, who cares? Doesn't matter. We're moving bits around. What matters is if a user goes to install WordPress and it doesn't work, we have like failed miserably. I think we should fix that. So no, the technical debt doesn't go away. It's just gonna, we're just gonna get more and more of it. Just pile it on. So it's okay.
We're nearing the end of the show here. I think we're getting technical debt here on the show. But I wanted to ask Mike before we let him go here. So you and Tammy did this awesome presentation at WordCamp US last year about the state of the media component in WordPress. And I learned some interesting things there, like the image she showed of all the different flows, the user flows. I didn't know you could do certain things in WordPress that many different ways. You guys showed off the way other competing services and platforms handle media. And by and large, WordPress is still on the up and up. If you start comparing against the other platforms. So maybe you could just, with your work in the media component, maybe provide us an update on maybe the state of things of the media component, maybe as it relates to Gutenberg. And, you know, maybe at some point, you know, maybe we can get like a focus to be the media component. Because I know a lot of people over the years, they complain about the media where you can't organize it by date. Mm-hmm. There's all these little things that they wish they could do. Yeah, component, but you got to rely on one of gargantuan number of plugins to provide that functionality for me.
Hey, I have one of those plugins. Come on now.
You better update it.
I probably should. You're right.
So I think at the moment, most of the energy of the media component has been going, or of the folks that work on media in WordPress, which isn't a ton. It's just a few of us.
Shout out to the small, tiny media team.
It's not just media. WordPress is made by a ton of contributors, but folks that sort of come day to day and build and do a lot of the integration and stuff like that. A lot of teams are very small. And so for folks that aren't already familiar with that, that's just a thing. Folks have been coming together to do that, and I'm really grateful for everyone that spends their time on it. Mm-hmm. Most of the efforts have been spent specifically on Gutenberg and getting things to be both as compatible. So mainly our efforts right now are focused on back compat, figuring out which things are sort of, you know, triage of back compat issues, seeing what we can handle how, what we can fix how, making sure that, you know, new galleries work as they're expected to by users, making sure that old galleries, when they get imported, that they still work the way they should, making sure that I know Anthony, who is heading up media for Gutenberg, spent a ton of time on creating the entire interface for the playlist block so that we would have a playlist block that's easy to use and easy to insert things. It's based, you know, that is native to Gutenberg. So I think most of the energy has been going there. In the future, I would absolutely love to see time spent on making an interface that might be more like aligned with a lot of the design decisions and flows and more ideal for users in the Gutenberg sort of state world of things. That's something I would be really excited to do. And I hope it happens at some point soon. I don't have like any sort of schedule around it, but absolutely, I'm excited about that. Anyone else who is excited about it, feel free to reach out. And the same with any things that you would really love to see in media, because all of that, like, all of that is super important in terms of planning, even if it doesn't happen now. I appreciate the kind words on that presentation. One of the things that shocked me when I was doing it, and that we mentioned, was how well aligned WordPress Media still was with its competitors, right. even given the amount of time. But I don't think that's a good reason to sort of rest and say, okay, well, you know, it's definitely good enough. Let's see what we can do better.
And a lot of these other competitors, they just offload the media management to like a Flickr or an Instagram, sure. or something else. Yep. So you just and WordPress is capable of doing that with S3 plugins or what have you. But, you know, by and large, still all these years later, the media component in WordPress is still pretty good, you know, when you start comparing things. So two quick things. First, mm-hmm. congratulations on your new position over at GoDaddy. They're going to be sponsoring you to work in WordPress full-time, yeah. as a core contributor. And second, where did you get the nickname Shredder? Is it Paper Shredder or is it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Shredder?
All right. Both of those are excellent questions. I'm glad you asked them. So the first thing, yeah, I was super excited, I'm super grateful for all the time that, you know, that I worked with Dreamhost and all those opportunities. I was about half on product there and about half on WordPress core. So when the opportunity came up from GoDaddy to work full time on WordPress, I was super enthused about that. Mm-hmm. Being able to focus on WordPress and having a company that's really excited about open source contribution, which is what I've gathered. They've been you know, growing a team. They sponsor a lot of folks on open source, even outside of the WordPress community. I don't have a full list. I should have come with a full list. I don't have that. But being able to work with Aaron Campbell, who is already being sponsored full time to work on WordPress and the WordPress ecosystem, I'm super excited about. So, props and thank you to them for allowing me the time and the opportunity.
I mean, who doesn't like being paid to do something they really enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a privilege, absolutely, and it's even cooler. I love being able to spend the time to basically give away the products of the efforts, and so that's the part I think I like the best. But yeah. On the other side, so Shredder. So that's a nickname that originated at Dreamhost. I joined and a little bit in. This might be a kind of a boring story, so I apologize for everyone's gonna be like, oh, well, that's so boring. But there were and are kind of like a lot of Mikes and Michaels, you know, in the world, and that was definitely the case at, you know, there when I started too. And so someone came to me and was like, I don't know what to set your avatar and your nickname on Jabber. We used Jabber at the time. And like, well, what do I do? I'm thinking maybe your last name is Schroeder. I'm thinking it should be Shredder. Will you object if I start calling you Shredder? And I turned to him and I was like, I think that's probably the coolest nickname anyone has come up to, you know, has come up with for me before. I've had a lot of bad ones. That one I really like.
Yeah, right.
I think I'm gonna embrace that one. So I went ahead with it. Yes. So it is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Shredder. So my avatar, at least on that side of the communication for a long time, was Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And here's the disappointing part. I got to admit that Chen was right.
But yeah, that's what it was. And initially, my nickname on the WordPress, in the WordPress space, and in IRC, also started out being Shredder. Eventually, I kind of renamed it because I think some folks were a little bit confused about exactly what the nickname meant and stuff. But I'm still stoked to have a nickname that I consider to be pretty cool. I'm glad it was granted to me. Anyone who wants to call me Mike is fine. Anyone who wants to call me Shredder is fine. Yeah.
What if I called you the shred man?
No. The shred man? It might take me a couple times to reply to it. I don't know.
All right.
It sounds a little bit like someone that might, like, I don't know.
I would not say that.
Yeah, that would be fine. That would be all right. That'd be all right. Yeah.
No. Shredder's more awesome. See, I was so when I wrote the post about GoDaddy hiring you, I was going to either use a paper shredder as the featured image, but then I'm like, I wanted to use the Shredder from Teenage Mutant Turtles, but the Shredder is a bad guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you know I have to be self-conscious about everything these days.
No, I didn't
want to imply that you were a bad guy, so I thought it would have been funny.
You know, well, if you rewatch one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, Shredder is just a guy wearing cardboard in like pajama pants. So, you know, he's not that bad of a guy, probably. Yeah, I don't think he looks comfortable.
And there are some episodes of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the old cartoon, where he actually helps out the turtles.
There are a few.
There are, you know, they're all ganged up against the other side.
Just misunderstood.
Well.
It's a collaborative effort. Well, I appreciate the consideration for sure. In general, you're right. Shredder is a bad guy, and I don't know. I don't want to be perceived or actually either one a bad guy. So that is true. Any support of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, though, I like that. So that was pretty cool growing up.
I'm really happy that you've moved to 100%. Core contribution position. It's hard for me to imagine other people that have worked as hard or that deserve it as much as you do. You've been around for a long time. You put in long hours and hard work on multiple releases over and over again. You're super active in the community and Slack. You kind of live all of the things that the WordPress contributor ethos is all about. You always have. And so, it's great to see more and more companies embracing the idea that there is value in having someone be 100% on WordPress core. And when those opportunities come up, it's great to see people that are good fits get that in their lives, because it's good for them. It's good for WordPress users. Ultimately, it is a better, happier experience for you. It's just kind of great to see. So I'm proud of you. I'm excited to see
you. We need more people who laugh as much as you do. We need more people who are optimistic as you as well. So, I mean, I always like a person who laughs, because these days it's hard to find people who know how to laugh. Everyone's so upset.
Well, thank you for all the kind words. I'll continue to you know, do my best is all I can promise. And if anyone ever has anything to chat about, whether it be negative, whether it be positive, whether it be bringing stuff up, I like would love it if folks would reach out. So definitely feel free at any point. And I'll do my best to, one of my goals is to see how open we can make communication. And so if there's anything that I can help with that, or you have any questions, or I'll see what answers I can find. And and I don't just mean you, I mean the global you, anyone who's listening, or I'm more than excited to help.
Communication is oxygen.
There you go.
So Mike, thanks a lot for being on the show. I will give you any parting words that you have for our audience or potential listeners who may want to start contributing to core, or, you know, where would they get started? Any advice?
I think that if they haven't already been to a WordCamp, I highly suggest going to a WordCamp and meeting some folks.
That's
in
a
person,
good start.
Especially if they've got a contributor day, because I think it helps a lot to meet with folks. I don't think it should have to happen this way, but I think it helps a lot to meet with folks in person that are working on core and or that have contributed and sort of, you know, get their feedback and help connect. Otherwise, there are core contributor meetings that happen. I can't remember the exact schedule, but you can go and you can see it in make.wordpress.org/meetings. We'll give you a list of all of the meetings. You can tell kind of what's going on in core. I'd highly suggest joining up with WordPress Slack, which is something that is open to anyone. If you go to chat.wordpress.org, You can get signed up with your with a free account right away. And so, yeah, getting involved with those new contributor meetings, I think, help a lot. There is also a there's a handbook. I know I'm kind of giving like a contribution guide in like 30 minutes, so I apologize. But there's also a handbook, make.wordpress.org/core. You can find a link to the handbook and a lot of information about what's going on in WordPress. And lastly, if you're having trouble figuring out where to find stuff, feel free to message me. No. You can find me on Twitter anytime. And also, if you join the WordPress Slack, I'm happy to answer anyone's questions about getting involved. If there are any of those links that you forgot or information that would help you get started, like not only do I enjoy doing it, but it's also part of my job. So like, feel free to reach out anytime and I'm happy to help. And
by the way, there are a lot of meetings that take place. By the way, there is an actual meeting specifically called New Core Contributors. It's a bi-monthly chat. Next one is on Wednesday, October 24th at 3 p.m. Eastern. So if you have questions about wanting to contribute to Core, there's your meeting, and you can attend that on Slack.
The Core Dev Chat's happening like right now, right?
It is happening right now. It is happening right now. I've been trying really hard not to.
I know.
Well, we're gonna wrap it up here. How can people get in touch with you? And then, all the best to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me and for the invitation. So Twitter is probably the fastest way. Feel free to at me. And if you want to do private messages, I'm more than happy to do a follow back and we can do that. So feel free to ping me. The other place is definitely WordPress on WordPress.org Slack. Or I have a site that I blog from time to time, really not super often, but there's also like a feedback form and you can see some thoughts on there at gitsource.net.
Awesome, Mike. So again, thanks a lot for being on the show and enjoy the rest of your day and go check out that dev meeting.
All right. Thank you so much and have a good one.
Bye, Mike.
Yeah, pleasure.
No problem. So there you have it. Mike Schroeder, the Shredder. See, I'm not going to say Shredder, I'll just call him the Shredder.
It's not the Shredder. It's just
Shredder. Just Shredder. Okay.
The Shredder is
don't
a,
yell at
an
me.
Enemy to turtles and mice all around the world. Shredder is friend to all. Completely different. Completely different people. It's like I'm going to start calling you Jake Shandling.
No, please.
That's your new name, Jake. No. Jake Shandling.
No, the Jake man.
The Jakester. No.
Yeah, jokester, that'd be better.
No, dear, no.
So before we wrap
up, funnier of the two of us, but no.
Before we wrap it up here, on a serious note, I want to pass along my condolences to the friends and family of WordPresser Todrick Moore, who passed away. He's a member of the Miami WordPress community. He's a volunteer organizer of WordCamp Miami 2015 and 2016. He passed away last week of leukemia. And David Bissett says that Todrick Moore is one of the kindest and strongest members of the South Florida WordPress community. And still to this day, he remembers meeting him first at his local meetup. And like many people who came to meetups, he was eager to learn, but also, as I would quickly come to realize, he would be eager to help others as well. Mm-hmm. And that's by David Bissett publishing.
And this is the
memorial to a fellow WordPresser there in Miami WordPress community.
This is the second loss that they've had in as many years, and so the South Florida's, we're with you. I got to meet Todrick and hang out with him a bunch from going to WordCamp Miami year over year for the past just about almost 10 years, I think, and so it's really sad. So my heart definitely goes out to all of them because it's Todrick was a super good guy, and it's sad to hear.
And there's some big news that we wanted to cover, but the show's already running over long, so maybe we can cover this next week. But the word of the week is accessibility, and we'll just leave
it at
that. We'll talk about that perhaps on next week's show. You can find show notes for this episode and every other episode on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, G-E-F-F-R-0. And John?
Twitter and GitHub at JJJ and JJJ.blog, where I, just like Mike, need to blog more.
Yeah, you should go read that post by Justin Tadlock on things he regrets.
That was a great, super great post, and everyone should read It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work from the Basecamp folks, Justin Fried. Great book. So that's my pick of the week in the end here.
All right, well, Until next week, again, stay safe if you're down there in South Florida. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. I don't know who our guest is. I don't think we have anybody scheduled for next week. But the week after, we're going to have Topher DeRosier on to talk about big commerce.
Cool.
So that'll be cool. So next week, we'll be able to spend some time talking about accessibility and all the things that have happened this week surrounding that word. So take care, everybody, and say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, Jeff.